Isaiah 50:4-9. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up.
Isaiah 49:1-9. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, and that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up, princes will see you and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you."
In the last number of weeks, we have been studying the book of Isaiah. Today we heard two servant songs. Servant songs which invite a new awareness of God's presence in the world. That his people would be a light to the Gentiles. That they would turn their face like a flint and their mouth would speak powerful words. This morning we have two special guests with us. In the last 2 months, I have been on a bit of a journey myself and have been away from family for over a few weeks, working with teaching and training now almost 140 different folks working around the world in faith-based peacebuilding. It has been humbling for me being a servant doing this, but I have been even humbled more this last week as I've been teaching the course in faith-based peacebuilding at Eastern Mennonite University, Summer Peacebuilding Institute. I've sat with 20 people I have now called heroes of hope. These heroes of hope come from nations in the front line of conflicts that are phenomenally challenging that I do not live with. The MCC director in Ethiopia, a Christian Mennonite conflict trainer in Indonesia who's worked with Muslim and Christian militants, a young woman from Iran who is at the cutting edge of trying to find a peaceful solution to the post-election conflict, a major from the United Arab Emirates Police Force who's wanting to learn how to deal with faith-based conflicts. I could go of somebody from Pakistan working in the Taliban regions, a woman from Afghanistan who was called to the White House on Wednesday and was at the State Department on Thursday and Friday at the Defense Department with the Afghanistan delegation that came with President Karzai. It has been a challenging and fascinating week of hearing stories, of hearing the heart of these people who are the hearers of hope, one of whom in a conflict transformation session was told by the leader of that group of militants he was working with, "If you say one thing wrong, I will take off your head." We heard that story this week. We heard that story this week. This morning we are honored and privileged to have two folks with us who are hearers of hope from the Middle East, Nada from Jordan, and Nada will share a bit during the sharing time as MCC's Mennonite Central Committee Program Coordinator in Jordan. She will share a bit about what she is doing and MCC is doing there. And as Maren mentioned, Nada is a friend of ours from the previous decade in our involvement in Syria. This morning in our sermon time, we will hear with a priest from the Coptic Orthodox Church, Father Luke, or Lucas Mansour. He and Nada have already shared with the Sunday school class, and I trust you will enjoy his sharing from his heart this morning, as we have spent much of this week laughing at some of his stories and hearing the lightness of his own heart and spirit as a follower and servant of Jesus Christ. Father Luke, blessings as you come and share with us, and you're welcome to open this time with a word of prayer from your tradition. Welcome.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, from God, Amen. Erini Pasi. This is a Coptic word. It means peace for you. What shall I say? I'm look different, yes? Yeah, I'm look different than you, yeah? I have this is for, and this is look different. And a lot of friends of mine here, they are asking me, why you are not wear jeans, or why you are not wear a shirt, or so on. I'm said for them, this is the focus of my church, to be different. Because if I can speak without, no problem. My voice is high, so I can speak without. Okay. So, when I am walking the street in Egypt with this is clothes, people, they are saw me different. And they are asking, who this? Even if in the airport in Air France, and I came to America through Air France, I am noticed the people behind me, they are said, this person, he is look different. Who is this? Is he from Iran? But I'm still listened for them. Their voice is high. I am not listened for this speech, but their voice is high. One of them said, no, he has a cross. Then he is not a Muslim. He is different. Then I'm looking behind them and said, I'm a Christian from Egypt. And they've started to speak with them about who am I and from where I am. I am belonging to the Coptic Orthodox Church in Egypt. Do you know where is Egypt, of course? I hope so. Egypt, and this is, as I'm studying geography, it's in the middle of the world. They said that for me, geography, I don't know it's right or no, but it's up for them. It's in the middle of the world. I'm belonging to the Coptic. Coptic means Egyptian. The word, the original word is Egyptos. And through the Arab time, it's become to be Copt. Because Arab, it's difficult for them to call Ag or Os, because the pronunciation of them is difficult. Then it's changing to be Jopt, and in this last 3 or 4 centuries, it's become Coptic. So Coptic, it means Egyptian. We are belonging to Egypt, and we are as a church. My church established in century 1, the first century, through St. Mark, the apostolic Mark, who wrote the second gospel. Mark came to Egypt around 48, in the first century, at year 48. And when he came to Egypt, he's walking in Alexandria. So his sandal, it's broken. So he wanted to shoemaker to fix it, his sandal. Then the shoemaker man, his name is Anianus. He just, when he fixes the sandal of Mark, the needle to be in his hand, so the blood be out. Then Anianus is crying, said, oh, say you to Theos. It means in Coptic, one God. Oh, one God. Then Mark take a chance and speak with him. Do you know who is God? Then Ignatius said, I'm searching. Then Mark started to tell him about the story of Jesus Christ. Then the church established from this point. Our number of in Egypt around 15 million Christian in Egypt. We are 15 million. We are the biggest minority in all of the Middle East as the Coptic people. Our faith is we are believing God, the Almighty God. We are believing Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are believe Jesus, He is Son of God, and He is our God and our Savior, who are came in flesh and stay in the with us in the earth here, and He is chose 12 disciples and went to the cross and be sacrificed for us, and He is risen from the death, and He is in the heaven now, prepare a place for us. We are believing Bible, it's a book of God. We are believing it. We have 7 sacraments in my church: baptism, charisma, communion, confession, marriagehood, priesthood, and sick people, we ordain them with the oil. And all of this from the Bible. We consider ourselves as we are Orthodox, but also we are evangelical in a church, because everything is in my church, it's belonging to the Bible. There are verses from the Bible behind everything in my church. My church also, it shows a piece from the beginning of it as a philosophy of the church to follow the steps of Christ in peace. So the time when the time of Roman Emperor, when the Roman Emperor said no for Christianity, my church chose a peace, and we said for the Emperor, we are ready to obey our life and we never leave Christ. Then we are being martyrs at church. My church, we have more than 2 or 3 million in this time be a martyrs. Then when you visit Egypt, you will see a lot of stories about the martyrs, people whom they are bathed their blood for Jesus. And after Constantine has become a Christian emperor, there are a big challenge for my church to keep peace or to deal with the Roman emperor. Then it's become a challenge. The emperor, he has a palace and he has servants, and the Pope must have palace and must have servants. My church said no. We must select another choice to be in peace. Then it's become a monastic's life. People, they leave their world and go to the desert to stay there, to be only with God there. Saint Anthony, he was a so rich man in the area it's called Bani Sueyf, south of Cairo, the capital, 2 hours only. He left everything and he went to the Red Sea desert and he became the first monk all over the world. So the monasticism life, it began from Egyptian land and it's go there. So when we choose the Pope or the bishops in my church, we selected them from the between monk. We selected a monk to be a bishop or to be a Pope. It's a philosophy of peace, that this is one who came from the desert. He will not take caring of the materialism things. He will become one in peace with all of the people because he had unity with God. I have a lot about the Coptic Church to say because it's 2,000 years from the history, and we are have a rich history in it. We have a fasting church. With fasting, that we are fasting for food, stop food from 12 in the evening, in the midnight, until 3 or at your ability. And after this, you eat vegetarian food. This year we are lucky, we are fasting for 210 days only. So we have different time of fastings. And we are enjoying it enough. We have our calendar, and we have our language, Coptic. It's belonging to Pharaonic time, and we have our own history there. And also, we have our struggles now in Egypt. We have our conflict in Egypt now. We are here to, I am here to tell you, please look in the map and see what about the Christian in Middle East. We have a lot of troubles there. And we have a lot of suffering. To be a Christian in the Middle East, it's not easy. To defend about your life and about your ID, it's not easy, really. I am so happy when I am so used to teaching the kids about there are people from another bank, the member of the body of Christ, other people come. So it's important for the body of Christ to know one another, to feel one another. I'm not here to telling you how much we are suffering, because you can follow it through the media or through the internet as you like. But I'm here to tell you that we still a Christian forever, even if they killed us one by one. But we still for Christ. And still choose a peace like our weapon. Not other things. You notice that I catch in my hand a cross. It's my weapon. A key of life. To keep it in it. Yes, there are a lot of struggles. Yes, every time there are a blood, we pay it. And this time only, in January, 7th of January, the Christmas Coptic night, six youths, young youths, maybe like some youths here, between 15 to 18. They are ready to go to home to celebrate with the Christmas with their mom and their pop. But suddenly there are a fundamentalist one. He is a Muslim and a fundamentalist shooting these young boys, and they are being murdered. And the situation is changed. They are ready to celebrate with their families, but now their families, they have the funerals there. And even if their parents cannot see them before they will go to the last day of them. And also, in this has happened in south of my city. It's called Naga Hammadi. And also in the besides the Mediterranean Sea area, it's called Marsa Matruh. There are a day, Sunday schools, but Sunday schools, because the holiday in Egypt, it's in Friday, so are make it in Friday, but we still call it Sunday schools. It's not able for us as the Christian people to build the churches. It's not able. If you would like to fix it, the toilet in your church, you must take permission from the president himself. How silly is it? Is it silly, really? You must take permission from the president. The president must sign. Fix the toilet in the church. And now he give it to the governor, but the same things. So in area it's called Marsa Matruh, the number of Christian a lot, and they can't be able to have a church. So they buy a house, and they are make Sunday schools like this. The fundamentals here that there are Christian people, they are worship Christ in this area. So after prayer on Friday, the imam invites them to destroy the Christians in this area. So imagine 400 persons in the area like this. And people from out stone them and shooting them. What about the kids? What is the trauma will be for the kids in this situation? And every day there are a story like this. There are bad stories about kidnapped girls or rap girls. Even if I have a fun story of me as a priest when I'm walking the streets, young kids, they are I don't know who teach them that. They are do like this in their head. What is this? Scratch? Scratch. Scratch in their heads. So I'm not understand why they are scratching their heads because of me. So the most funny thing is two brothers, one big and one and around 2 or 3 years, the big is 9 years. So the elder one is scratching his head, but his brother can't, so he did it for him like this. I am stopped and smiling for both of them. What about it? Then I'm asking a Muslim, a friend of me, why they did it. He said for me that they have a background. This is a priest, a Coptic priest, never take a shower. But I said for him, I swear I take a shower every day. So we deal with a lot of. I'm take already shower before I come. So we deal with a lot of struggles there. For me myself, my church there, in the Bishopric Church, it's a small church. We'd like to make it a little bit big because our member in the church, 10,000 persons. So the church is not enough. So we'd like to add a part to the church. Imagine how would it be. We're suffering for 3 months to work in the night with the candle. We take off our shoes and we build it without a voice because the police waiting us out. If they are hearing a voice, they will arrest all of us, including me. But the hand of God never leave us. And we finished it. Even if we haven't money, even if there's a bad situation there, even if the time of darkness, imagine you build a house with candle. How would it work? But we see the miracles of God between us there, everywhere. So what I am accept from you after my speech, I say I need from you to keep us in your prayers. Keep the Coptic people in your prayers. Second, everyone here, hear me. Be back and read about Coptic. And read about what's happened to the Coptic until now. Third things, if you have anything to do for Christianity in the Middle East and the Coptic people, please do it. Because we are a body of Christ. And the member of the body cannot stop for one another. How they can support them. Because really, we feel suffering. Some people speak about the crusaded and how is it affected in the Muslims world. And me, myself, I stand and I'm asking them, what about the crusaded and the Christian people in Egypt or in Syria or in Jordan? The crusaded people, when the cross war, the crusaded came to the east, the Muslims killed the Christian, and the Christian killed the Christian. Then we are be like sandwiches in the middle. Muslims killed Christian, and the Christian killed the Christians, and we pay the price. And we still pay the price until now. Imagine if Jewish people killed the Palestinian people, the Muslims attacking us in Egypt. And we are asking, what is the connection between us and Jewish? What are Christians and they are Jewish? So we're still fighting to stay alive there. We're still fighting to worship Jesus Christ there. We're still fighting for our faith. We will stay in Egypt and we will never leave Egypt. And we will never leave Christ. Because Christ is our Lord. Even if we are so proud with Christ, even if we are put the sign of Christ here in our hands. So we are proud in it. And we still proud in Christ. Because he is the main resource of life. I remember a story. I will finish it with you because I don't like it to take a lot of time from you. It's happened in century 17. There are a lot of discussions in the time of Fatimans. The Fatimans, the people whom they came to occupy the Egypt from Morocco. And they are Shia, not Sunnah. In Islam, there are Shia and Sunnah. And they came, the prince, he called Al-Mu'izz al-Din Allah al-Fatimi. He'd like to have a lot of discussions. Then he collected Jewish, Christian, and Muslims, and they have three discussions together. Egyptian, they'd like to have jokes and sense of humor from the beginning. I noticed that, not from these days only. So he started to have a negotiation or the free discussions between Jewish and between Christians. So the Christian bishop, he called Saphirus. This Saphirus, he said for the governor, he's a Muslim governor, he said, oh, we cannot discuss with Jewish. Then the governor said, why, Bishop Saphirus, you don't like to discuss with Jewish? He said, because their book said in Isaiah, you study Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 3, the ox know his people, and the donkey know his friend. But my people, Jewish people, they don't know. Then my governor, the ox and the donkey better than them. So we can't have discussion with them. It's a sense of humor. So the discussion is a cut. But the Jewish keep it in their hearts. How is it he is loving from them? Then they are searching in the Bible for the verses to have balance with them. Then they are found in Matthew 17, the verses which you said, if you have a face like a mustard seed, then you said to the mountain, move from here to there, and it obey you. Then they take it and go to the governor, Mu'izz al-Din Allah al-Fatimi, and said for them, okay, now we have a test for a Christian people in Egypt. If they are believing God or no. Then the governor said, what is this? The Jewish said for the governor, there are verses from Matthew, and it said, if you have a face like mustard seed, then you said to the mountain, move from here to there, and we have a mountain in the middle of Cairo. We'd like to move it. Imagine. Roy, when we came here, he saw us mountains. So I'm thinking, we'd like to move it. How we move it? What do you think? We use dynamite? To make a gap, but we'd like to move a mountain. Then the governor, he said, okay, it's mine now. Come, ask Zabob. He called Abraham. Abraham, Zabob number 62. And bishops, come. You have these verses in the Bible or no? They said, what is the verses? He said, this is, if you have a faith like a mustard seed, then you see the mountain, move from here to there, and it's obey you. You have or not? They can't deny. They said, yes, we have. Then I said, okay. Move the mountain right now. Or you have three options. You move the mountain and you keep Christianity in Egypt, or convert to be Muslims, or I will kill you. The prince said that, and he insisted on his situation. But they are set for themselves inside. It's a spiritual words. Jesus said that. But the governor put them in a choice. Then Bob Abraham said for the people, for the governor, okay, give us 3 days and the God will arrange what we shall do. And Bob Abraham write a message to all of the Egyptians' lands. We're fasting for 3 days without foods until 5 p.m. We pray masses every day, pray liturgy, and crying to the Lord and come and mercy us. And the story is said that in the 3rd day of the fasting, Bob Abraham, he is staying in old Cairo, is the church for St. Mary in old Cairo. And he's sleeping because he's tiring. And a lot of conflict inside of him, a lot of rest inside him. But Virgin Mary, he saw Virgin Mary in a vision, and she said for him, "Don't be sad, Abraham. Jesus will take care of your people in Egypt." But opens his door, and there are one eye man. He will move the mountain for you. He was a Simon. His name is Simon. Simon was not a priest, was not a bishop, was not a pope, even was not a deacon. He's just a person in the church. But he's worshiped God full of his heart. He was an eye man. So he's opened the door and he found Simon and said, "Come." But Simon would like to escape from him, but the pope asked him and be with him. Then the third day come. The prince waiting. What is the answer of the pope? And then the pope collected all of the bishops, all of the priests, all of the deacons from Cairo, and went to go to the prince and ask him. The prince, when he saw them, came to him and asked them, "Oh, you choose to be Muslims or you will die?" Then they are said for him, "No. Come with us. We will move the mountain for you." The prince said, "They are crazy people. Okay, come." But through the face, and this is face here beside this building, they are go to the mountain, and the mountain was in the middle of Cairo. It's in Ramses, in the middle of Cairo. And they started to pray. Simon behind the bob. And they start to say, "Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison." And our God, the miracles one, who is never leave us in temptation, and he's never leave us and anyone destroy us, never ever. God stand beside people, and suddenly the mountain rhythm rise up and the moving from the old Cairo to the west of Cairo, and until now they are called this is mountain al-Muqattam, means it's become a part. And this is still a witness, a miracle for God's hands between Egyptian people. And if you go to visit Cairo, please go to the Muqattam area and ask about the story. You will see the mountain there. It's for Abarts. And it's moving from middle of Cairo to the west of Cairo. And this is the hand of God, which never their people ever. Then the prince, when he saw that, he'd be surprised. And then he said, "Yes, it's true. God of Christian people, he's the true one." We still live in faith in Egypt. And we will still forever. And we're teaching our people in Sunday schools about faith and about Jesus. He is Lord. I don't like to take a lot of your times, but I appreciate to be between you. Thanks so much. God bless all.